Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head.
I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah.
I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me.
I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around.
Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly.
Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah.
Okay, here in Psalm 3, as we continue on our new or more recent cycle through the Psalm meditations, we have a Psalm of David, and the superscription says, when he fled from Absalom, his son. Here we have a call to God in a time of severe trouble, in a time of anguish, in a time of threat from all sides, we have this psalm, which is a prayer for help, and then a prayer to God for his greatness and the mercies that he does give. It begins with a lament. Lord, how they've increased who trouble me. Those who rise up against David at this time were many. Those who say of him, there is no help for him in God. Now, this, of course, has been a lament that's common to the church, common to the people of God in all ages. It seems that those who trouble us, well, there's kind of a cycle to it. They get to be more and then less and more and less. Here at this time, David was in a time of great trouble. You see at the second part of verse 2 there, the quote, many are those who say of me, and what is it those that they say? There is no help for him in God. Now, this can mean one of two things. This can be someone who believes in God and God having power to help, but has no desire to help. Are they saying that God's not going to help David because David isn't one that God wants to help? Or are they saying that David is not going to get any help from God because there is no God to help? Well, in this case, we see that Absalom is one who is a covenant breaker, one who's outside of the covenant of grace, seemingly. Well, obviously, one who has no concern for covenant, for oath, for anything of the sort. So those who rose up with him would be ones who wouldn't believe that there is a covenant God. Or if there is, there would be no help. For if they truly believed that there would be help, they wouldn't have risen up against God's anointed one, would they? But David here, as a type of Christ, makes the statement, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord. You see it all capitals, of course. It says Yahweh or Jehovah, the name of the covenant God. I cried to Jehovah with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. We see David, and this is common in the book of Psalms. Those of you who sing the Psalms, who pray the Psalms, who read the Psalms commonly are should be familiar with this, that we start with, my God will answer my prayer, so I prayed. God is the one who does answer me, so I called for help. There's very little of what we might say the modern understanding, the proper term for it would be an immature understanding, of praying to God and then sitting around hoping he hears, hoping he listens, hoping he cares. The pattern from Scripture is that he does care. He will take care of his people. Because of that, I pray. There's no rolling of the dice and hoping something will happen here. It starts with faith and then moves to action. So how strong is this faith? I laid down and slept. He's being hunted through the hills. But he laid down and slept and awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Now this is an interesting line here. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Now, he slept because he trusted the Lord to protect him, but he awoke because the Lord was there to sustain him. He was still alive because Jehovah protected him, kept him going. He says, therefore, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. Again, we have the faith, and then the next verse, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Start with the faith, then the prayer. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone and broken the teeth of the ungodly. He is viewing the thing that he is currently praying for as an accomplished fact. This is not looking back at history. Well, you've helped me before, so you'll help me again. He knows that in the covenant promises of God, these things are as good as done. Now, striking someone on the cheekbone and breaking the teeth. Now, we think of, oh, we'd hate to have broken teeth. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? Especially some of our teeth cost more than others because of work being done on them. But think back in these times when they didn't have dental work, they didn't have dentures, they didn't have anything of the sort. What would it be like without any teeth? You know, somebody's been reduced to being dependent on others, being dependent on basically staying at home where they can cook up soft food. But the point being that God is there and God will strike the enemies, and it's a sure thing. He knows it's going to happen. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Now, does God always answer prayer with salvation on this? Well, let me back up. That's not the word I wanted. When we pray for help in this world, does God always give us rescue in this world? And the answer is no. But we know from other parts of the Bible that we are not to fear the ones who can only kill the body. You know, one of the things that the Christian really needs to make peace with is the fact that you're going to die as far as this earthly body goes. And that's not the end of things. David, in this case, was rescued on earth, but he died eventually. That doesn't mean that God failed him. But the God of the covenant gave him real life, true life. As he will be resurrected on that great day, as we will come to know David in the flesh. As we live in the new heavens and the new earth. Now, this psalm, I would be remiss, of course, if I didn't go into, is not particularly about David. One of the things that sets the psalms apart from the hymns is that they're not man-centered. As, of course, you'd agree with that. You've seen that, I hope. It's not about me, me, me. It's about you, 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 looking to God in the psalms. This psalm is about God's anointed, but not primarily David. That was the occasion. But here we should see in this psalm Jesus as he's beginning to, how should I say, enter upon a path that would lead him to the cross. As he was in his ministry, people rose up against him more and more and more as he was bringing the uncomfortable truth to them. We'll see as we go on through these psalms, this next section, we'll see the progression starting in Jesus' ministry of the resistance that he gets from people. We'll see more and more the prayer of Jesus for sustenance, the prayer of Jesus for protection. But then we'll see in these psalms, in these very psalms, we'll see the journey through the passion. We'll see his betrayal and his crucifixion. We'll see his resurrection and seating at the right hand of the Father. Because the psalms were given to the people of God as their hymn book. The people of the covenant and the psalms sing of the covenant. And as we go through these, we will see our salvation, their salvation in Christ, in grace, all the way from Adam to the last day. And hopefully we'll all be blessed more and more by seeing our brothers thousands of years ago looking to Christ. And hopefully we'll get that connection in Jesus to our very early forefathers in the faith. We'll sing now Psalm 3.